What we're going to do today is, I'd asked y'all last week, as we've gone through the scriptures about James, for y'all to read the rest of them, and I was going to head on, and then the Father, as I was studying, said, "No, you didn't." In other words, we are in James. He said, "You are going to stay there. You are not going to rush this." And he says, because you know what? That was the first thing that he mentioned to me. Can I trust you with my people? And can you just get out of the way and let the word speak for itself? You shepherd. And so I had to repent of trying to rush through something because, you know, we've gone through this series. Are we justified by faith or are you justified by works? And the answer is yes, it's both. And the thing was, just touching on James a little bit, because I know we've read these scriptures before. The understanding of the book of James is something that I know that most of you can grasp. It was going through Galatians. It's hard whenever you're looking about, are you justified not by works but by faith? But we had to understand it was status change. So what we're going to do, we're going to start in James 1, verse 1. Because remember when we were going through these letters, these epistles, you have to understand and you always have to ask your question, who is he talking to? Is he talking to the Gentiles, particularly just the Gentiles? Is he talking to Israel, the Jewish people, or is he talking to both? And a lot of times it is both that you have, but it's usually a majority of someone he's talking to. And so in the book of James, verse 1, chapter 1 says this, James, a servant of Elohim, of the Master Yeshua the Messiah, to who? To the 12 tribes in dispersions greeting. Now who's the 12 tribes? That's Israel. These are the Hebrews. These are all of the 12 tribes that were dispersed all around that area. So most people would say, well, he's talking to the Jewish people. But not only is he talking to Judah, he's talking to all of the dispersed tribes. And so the 12 tribes, could we say that they know and understand the Torah? They should, because they were raised in it. They were given the Torah, where the Gentiles were totally oblivious to the Torah because they had many gods. So now you can understand when you're reading the book of James, it's going to read different. You know, Keith, you made a statement that it probably got canonized by only one vote. Why? Because the people that were canonizing it didn't understand who he was talking to. It's easy to understand from a Christian mindset during that time, Paul's writings, because in their mindset, it's replacement theology. But here, it's like, wait a minute, this is way too much like you got to do the Torah. And so I believe that if that be the case, I believe that the reason why this book is in the scriptures is because it's supposed to be in there to keep the balance. It's to keep the balance so that we don't have replacement theology. Did it work? No. The church as a whole has replacement theology. But what's happening now? He is now bringing us back as a grafted in people. Because Paul didn't teach anything other than being grafted in, being part of Israel, understanding and learning the Torah. We went through Acts at the very beginning of these teachings and this little series that we were doing, this groan. And the thing was this, it says, look, we can't trouble them with the oral Torah. Our forefathers and even us were bound by this. We couldn't even do this. And now you're going to levy that on them. No, you don't need to do that. But there are four things that need to be done. And he gave those listings because one thing is like we had Torrington up here that day as we used the illustration because they had to believe that if there was a Gentile who was converted into Yeshua as the Savior and they're coming into the Torah, they had to know that they were no longer in paganism. And they were having to really struggle and deal with that. All right, so here we have James. James in verse 1, he's talking to the 12 tribes in the dispersion. And he says this, this is for all of us here. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let the steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Now, we read that, and we've read that, but we need to slow this down. Look what this is saying. Count it all joy. Now, my brother, when you meet various trials, here's the thing. Nobody enjoys going through trials. Anybody that enjoys going through trials, raise your hand and we will cast out the spirit of lying. Amen. Nobody likes going through trials and tribulations. We don't like that. It's like most of us pray, when are these going to stop? They're not. Because they're there to produce something in me and you. And until it produces, until we are made perfect and we are complete, they're going to keep coming because they're trying to work something in us. What do? We don't like pain. We don't like drama. So what we do is we stiff arm this work that he's doing in us. We do. I know I do. Because, I mean, I just want to coast sometimes. But you know what? There's no cruise set on the scriptures. Now, he's saying, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces. That's where I want to stop right here. The testing of our faith produces something. This is what it's all about. And it says this, that the testing of our faith produces what? Steadfastness. Steadfastness is fixed in direction. That's what it means. Steadfastness, fixed in direction, steadily directed. This is what's wrong with the body of Messiah today. We're not fixed in direction. Because every new thing that comes along, it changes our course, or we seem to change direction into something new. That's why the Torah is so important with the laws and commandments. It is our guardrails. It is what keeps us focused. Look, Yeshua is the bridge. Yeshua is the bridge that links us between us and our Father. But the Torah and the Holy Spirit are the guardrails to keep us on the bridge. Amen? And that's what this is about. And that's why it's so important. So what he's telling you is various trials comes our way. Testings of our faith produces a fixed direction in our life. So that whenever certain things come our way, we're not going to be shaken or moved. Our feet are going to be planted firm. And you know what? Things can come your way. And until you can stand firm and not get blown off course, we do this. And then we stay over here a while because I don't know what hit me over there, but I just want to. But we need to get to a place to where even if we get hit, if nothing else, we know he wants us to be firm in our conviction and what we're believing. That's what he's telling us here. So you're going to have the various trials. They're there to produce something, and it's to produce us that we would be fixed in what we believe. And it says, and let that fixed direction in our life have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. This is the process of what these trials are for. Verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask Elohim, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. What does he say? But let him ask in faith. We're going through just two chapters in James, but you're going to see this word faith a lot here. Faith, asking in faith with no doubting, for the one who doubts is what? Like a wave of a sea that is driven and is tossed by the wind. So now you can now see what he's saying here. Now he's using the scripture. If these trials don't keep us fixed, then what happens to us? Every wind of doctrine, every force, everything that comes our way, it blows us all over the map. If the wind blows from the north, we go this way. If it blows from the south, then we're not fixed in anything. There's no belief system. There's no way that we can stand firm. Look, I'm telling you, I'm looking for healing to be done today. Amen? Faith. Because that's what it produces. And you know what he says? If anyone lacks wisdom, but really what he's saying too, if you lack something, ask. And if you ask believing, you can get it. Because the scripture says you can. Yeshua made that promise. He made that promise. Yahweh made that promise. It is not up for negotiation. It's the lack of faith that keeps us from getting what we are supposed to get. Now, here's the thing. How do we get through that faith and lack of faith? Because what we do a lot of times in our own minds, things start popping up. The enemy starts popping up, starting to say, well, you remember this, you remember that. And then you start this, I ain't worthy business. Guess what? I'm just going to tell you something. Ain't none of us worthy. Let's get that over with. We ain't none of us worthy. That's why he had to go to the torture stake. That's why he had to go to the cross. That's why he is the one. He's the bridge. But you know what? We are worthy because he has given us his righteousness. And he's taken our sin. Amen. He replaced it. And because of that, we become worthy because he says we are. Not in our own righteousness, but in his righteousness, we are. And we can stand on these promises. I was talking, he's my nephew, so I can say this. He had a situation. We were talking the other night. We had Thanksgiving together, and we were talking. He was going through a situation. Do I do or not? Do I do or not? And I said this. I said, have you prayed about it as much as you talked about it? He said, absolutely not. That's always a good question. Have you prayed about it more than you talked about it? And if the answer is no, then forget talking and start praying. Start praying. These scriptures, start praying, at least get it 50-50. And not like 5%, 95% talking about it. Because that's what we do. Because sometimes what do? We start leaning to our own understanding. That will get us messed up every time. So the thing is really and truly, and I said, well, you know what? Just purpose to do this for me. Pray about it more than you're talking about it. He said, I will. And so this is a process that he'll start doing because you know what? When he does this, he'll get an answer. And do you know what? Not only will he get an answer, it can move mountains out of the way to get him to be able to do what he wants and desires to do and do something that they've not done before. But the prayer moves the mountains. Us talking about it don't move anything. That's right. He'll get the right answer. Absolutely. He'll get the right answer. But let him ask in faith, not doubting, for the one who doubts is like the wave of a sea that is driven. See, that word driven, driven and tossed by the wind. You're not just blown around. You're driven. You know, there's people driven. That's what he's saying. It's a driving force. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the master. Why? Because he is a double-minded man, what? Unstable in all of his ways. Unstable is the very opposite of steadfastness. Unstable is a weeble wobbles, but he don't fall down. That's what it is. In case some of you young ones don't know what a weeble is, you just got to go back to our day. You can thump a little dude, he'll wobble, but he just won't fall over. But the thing is to be steadfast, and that's what he's saying. If you fight the process of various trials coming in your life, then what's going to happen is you're going to be driven all over the map. Stay with it and understand that the Father is not going to put anything greater on you than you're able to stand. Okay? Let's jump down to verse 12. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trials. For when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which Elohim has promised to give those who love him. Let no one say, I want you to look at this now. Let no one say when he is tempted. Now, in the scriptures here, we're reading two words, or really three words. We're reading the words trials, we're reading the word testings, and we're reading the word tempted. Trials and testing are the same word. And this is why I wrote this down. And if you're too far back there that you can't see this, you need to take a picture of it on your phone. You need to know this. Testing is a procedure or an operation carried out to resolve an uncertainty. If you're going through life and there's uncertainties, there's testings that come your way to resolve the uncertainties, to bring you to a good, solid answer to where you know you're going in a right direction. Yahweh brings testings. He does not bring temptings. That's what he's saying here, because what is tempting? Tempted means this, to lead away from a usual or proper course by offering some pleasure or advantage. It's a trap. Yahweh does not lead us away by pleasures, by false pleasures. And that's why this is meant to be here. And I wanted to give you these two, because a lot of times we'll say tempted, tested. We throw these words back and forth. That's why Brad Scott always ministered, words mean things, because they do mean things. So you see that there's testings that come our way, but the Father does not tempt us in the area that he's talking about here. So now let's look at it again. Verse 12, blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trials, because when he's tested, he will receive the crown of life if he endures it. Verse 13 says, let no one say that when he is tempted, I am tempted by Elohim, for Elohim cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. So he's telling you that he does not tempt you, because he's not going to lead you astray and bring pleasures and advantages and set you in a trap. He's not going to do that. Verse 14, but each person, and this is where we have a problem, but each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desires. Let me read that again. But each person is tempted when he is lured. Lured by what? Pleasures and advantages. That's what happens, because that's what the flesh wants. The flesh is always about pleasure. I'm going to tell you something. Do you have something?
I want to read that in this.
Absolutely. Go ahead. Get a mic. Read that.
Verse 14, by each one is tempted by his own lust. He covets and is seduced by them.
Ain't that something? That's right. They're seduced by them. Maria Ruiz, today, I'm standing in the back, she brought me an apple fritter about that big. Now I'm hungry like a wolf, okay? All I've had this morning is a protein drink. And she hands me that. And Turner looks over there and he says something very profound. He says, that's like giving crack to an addict and expecting him to hold it for his brothers. I says, now if y'all don't know me, I love an apple fritter. And that's the real apple fritter. That dude is that big. It's big as a plate. I'm holding that thing in a plastic bag. I had to go put it in the car. I hope you locked the car since I told everybody where that thing's at. But I'm telling you, and I'm like, man, and the moment I got it, and I'm sitting there, and now all of my great conversation, I'm stuttering. Because my stomach just all of a sudden started growling. You know, because that, you know, your mouth is watering, you're doing all of these things. What is that? Pleasure, an event. There's a luring. Because if you love something, I mean, just think, what if I'd have been on a diet? Which I'm not. Not now. Not today. We start Monday. Okay? Typical diet pattern. I'm on a diet. Monday. Monday's always a good day to start. I definitely ain't starting today because I have it in hand. But that's what it is there's something about the flesh, and that's what he's saying here. He's saying, but each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by a big apple fritter, by his own desires. We have desires. There's that nature. That's what Paul keeps talking about in Romans. There's something that's going on that wars within us. I know to do right and I don't do it. And I know what not to do and I do. And he goes on and he crosses up and you're like, what did he just say? You know, but that's what he's talking about. There is a flesh that we have to make sure that the spirit man, if you're not praying, that's what Rachel's saying. If we're not praying, your spirit man is not going to be on top holding the flesh man down. The flesh man's going to be on top slapping him around until you can get on your knees, because that's the only thing, is to have that spirit man winning this battle. Verse 15, then the desires, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin, because that's what it's going to do. We all know the pattern. Once we give over to that desire and it's conceived, it's going to give birth to sin. And then what is that going to happen? Sin, when it is fully grown, it's going to give birth to death. Sometimes we call it a slow fade. There's things in our life we end up giving into. I can tell you, I don't know, I'll just use dieting as because I know it is with me. I can go through time and I can do pretty well for a period of, say, a few weeks. And then all of a sudden the fritter or the banana pudding or something like that shows up. And then I'll sit here and I'll say, I'll just eat a bite. Everybody knows that word? Yeah, bite. There is no such thing as a bite when it's something that you love. Because one bite leads to another, and that bite leads to a bowl. Not a serving, a bowl. You know what I'm saying? And that's what happens here, because that's why it says teshuvah means to put a gap. It means to turn and walk away from. It means you have to create a gap. What does that mean? If you're on a diet, don't go to the donut store. Because you're not going to go in there and get a diet Mountain Dew. It just ain't going to happen. Or you may get one to counteract the dozen that you bought. You know what I'm saying? But that's what happens. Now, I'm just putting this in human terms, as Paul would say, because that's what sin does. What we do is we don't create a gap, and we're right here by sin, and we know it's wrong. But somehow or another, we start spiritualizing flesh things. Until you eat too much, and when you eat too much and you overeat, you do what? You get sick. And that's what happens with sin. At first, there's a pleasure. Look, I wish coffee tasted as good as it smells. But coffee smells good. But it is bitter to me. Yom Kippur. We're fasting on Yom Kippur, amen? We're all fasting. Burning leaves smell good. The aroma. Because when you're hungry, am I not telling you the truth? When you're hungry, Tammy can't smell. She don't know. But she misses her water. All I'm saying is when you can't, there's an alluring that happens. We got to deal with this because this is what's wrong with the body of Messiah today. Now, you all know that we're in a cult. If y'all don't know that, you hadn't heard the rumors. Now, I just heard, and we talked about last week, but I just heard this week, I read an article, the Methodists in the United Kingdom just ordained their first transgender person as a preacher, pastor, what bishop, whatever they did, okay? Now, we have in the body of Messiah today, now transgenders, we already have homosexuality being accepted and priest and all of that. Abortions are being accepted, all of this, and they're calling us an occult. And I'm like, what scriptures are we reading here? And the thing about it is, guys, the prophet says, in that last day, they will call evil good and good evil. So understand this. Forget what anybody says. You stick to the book. We stick to the book and we stick with this word because he's saying count it all joy. If you're in this book, when you go through various trials, you can have joy. But if you're in sin, you ain't got joy. Okay? That's just the way it works. So he's teaching and telling us that we need to stick with this and we need to be very mindful. We need to create that gap and not be hanging around things. Let me just say this too. Sexual immorality. It says, and I believe in Philippians, it says flee. Flee. This is what flee means. This is a hand grenade. Pull the pin and there it is. Are you going to analyze the situation? Because I will promise you this. I could give you the illustration. I could have threw a real hand grenade there. And you people would have killed one another trying to get out of this building. Because the thing is that's the understanding of flee. Flee means get out of Dodge quick. You know, I can't overemphasize that. That means flee. That means get. Because if you don't, you won't. That's what it means. If you don't, you won't. Because I'm telling you, it's like a magnet. It's like a big magnet sitting here, and you got your pocket full of nails. You know, it's just going to keep pulling you. Get the nails out of your pocket. You know, get away from it, because if you don't, if you hang around it, when nobody's looking, you're going to fall. What is character? Character is, what are you doing when nobody's looking? That's the definition of character. That's what he's trying to teach us, because that's why in Hebrews, he says that he judges the thoughts and the intents of the heart. You know, I was sitting here, and I'm just going to confess it. Boy, I don't want to get your ears really rolling. I'm sitting here deer hunting. Went deer hunting Wednesday. Told Coleman I wasn't going. It was windy. It wasn't going to be a good day. But I needed to study. And we have this box stand. So I went and I got in the box stand. So I'm sitting here on my phone. I'm reading the book. I read the whole book. I'm reading the whole book. I'm going back and forth. I'm looking up words. And so now it's starting to get about, I don't know, 4:45 or whatever, starting to get dark, so the phone is lighting up the whole box stand, right? So I cut it off because I've already read and studied, and I'm sitting here, and it's still legal shooting time, but for me, a buck has to be certain antlers, so many inches wide, so many inches tall, one or the other. Now, I could shoot a doe. I mean, it's legal right now. We can have two. So I'm sitting there, and I can't see anything in the field. I mean, it's getting that way. It's still legal. I get my binoculars, and there's a deer standing out there. And boy, I said, this is good. I said, I'm reading, I'm studying. So I put my binoculars down, and I get my scope. And what do I see? Two little antlers that tall. I said, am I really seeing two little antlers? Can I see? So I drew the scope up, you know, and it was hard to see. Still legal time. And I said, Father, I mean, I'm praying. I'm saying, I'm asking, show me for sure. I already saw that there were two little antlers. But then it was hard to continue to see them. And I said, well, maybe I didn't see what I thought I saw. I'm just confessing. Okay, I didn't even tell my wife this, because she'd make me do a mikvah. So what happens is, but I'm going through this, but really and truly, but you know what? In my scope, though, there, I mean, everything hit perfect, and there they were. So I just eased everything back. I said, that is a test. I said, I'm reading right here in James. I've test various trials. Now, you know that I got all these grandkids, and we've been doing this, and we've been setting up, and we've been preparing and all of this, and, you know, I've got to go maybe a couple of times. They've got to go 100. No, not really 100, but they're going, and the thing is, and I love taking them and all that, but I thought, you know, how awesome is this to sit here, read the Word, and then Him bless me with some food. Amen? But I read the Word, and He blessed me with a test, a various trial. But you know what? I had to make sure that I didn't shoot it and say I thought it was a doe. Because most people honestly would do that. They would do that, preacher or not. They'll do it. That's why I'm saying you have to be fixed in direction before you go out there. You got to be fixed in direction, because I promise you, because when it comes down to the time to make a shot, Scott, you know what I'm saying? Things get nervous anyway. Then you start all this, man, you know how much money? Father, you know how much money I put into all this? Finally, if I ever get one, that's going to be the most expensive steak you ever eat. Amen, time it gets done. So I'm just saying, it doesn't matter. We have to be fixed in direction, because if you don't, you'll start talking back and forth to yourself. And next thing you know, you'll talk yourself into doing something wrong. Amen. That's why it says flee, get away from it. Let's go to verse 19. Verse 19, it says, know this. Now, we covered this the other day, but I just wanted to read it real quick. It says, know this, my brothers, my beloved brothers. Let every person be quick to hear and slow to speak and slow to anger. We talked about this. For the anger of man does not produce, there's that word produce, the righteousness of Elohim. We talked about Galatians 5:20 about fits of anger. So he's telling us in the next verse, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your soul. In other words, the works of the flesh we're to put away, not the works of the Torah. Amen. We talked about being a doer of the word last week in verse 22 all the way down to 25. All right, now let's go to James 2, verse 8. And he says this, if we always tell you that whenever you start to read something and that word if shows up, you really need to pay attention because it's conditional. Okay, it's conditional. So anytime you see the word if, you need to pay attention. If you really, he's not taking it upon that you just automatically are. He's saying if you really fulfill the royal law, according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you're doing well. But if you show partiality, you are committing sin and are convicted by the law as a transgressor. So if we show partiality, he said we're sinners. And the law will convict us as a transgressor. So if we ever show partiality, we need to repent.
May I insert something right here, baby?
Absolutely.
So remember who James is. James is the brother of Yeshua, Yaakov. Who is he talking to? He's talking to the dispersed 12 tribes of Israel. And he's telling them not to show any partiality because they've been raised and trained, what? To stiff-arm the nations.
That's right.
And the Gentiles. I wonder if he's thinking back to Peter's vision.
Amen.
There's to be no partiality. So he's, again, reinforcing to his brethren not to show partiality to.
Amen. That's right. Amen. That's right. Can't show the part because that's what they were dealing with. That's right. Verse 10, for whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point has become guilty of all of it. Let's jump down to verse 14. What good is it, my brothers, if someone says that he has faith because it's always been, are we justified by faith or are we justified by works? You need to take the word are out of it. It's both. And here's why we're going to be tying it together here at the end of this message here in James. What good is it, my brothers, if someone says that he has faith but does not have works? He's asking the question now, can that faith save him? That's a good question. Because it says we're saved by faith through grace, but he's saying, but can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, the one who says to them, go in peace, be warm and filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? In other words, what good is faith that produces nothing? That's really what he's asking. If somebody is hungry and somebody needs to be clothed, and you're saying you're going to pray for him and send him on his way, and you're going to say that I did what I was supposed to do by faith, you didn't do anything. In other words, your faith produced absolutely nothing. And that's what James is saying here. Faith produces righteousness, what we're supposed to be doing. And once you do it, then you understand that you had faith. But if you sit here and run around and say you have faith and it produces nothing, he's saying, what good is that faith? Verse 17. So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, it's dead. It's useless. It doesn't produce anything. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works and I will show you my faith by my works. In other words, faith and works is supposed to look the same. You're not supposed to be able to separate the two. There shouldn't ever be a difference between faith and works. Because faith produces something. And the lack of faith also produces something. The lack of faith will really produce nothing. That's what it does. I'm too afraid to do this. I don't step out. How many times have we said this? The only way for a turtle to cross the road is he has to do what? He has to stick his neck out. That's faith. He has to stick his neck out. We, a lot of times, we like to stay in our shell. We don't like to stick our neck out because we feel vulnerable. But that's what he's saying. A turtle on the side of the road is just saying, I'm going to the other side. And he keeps his head in the shell. He ain't going nowhere. But the turtle that says, I'm going to the other side, I believe I can beat that car that's 16 miles down the road. And he sticks his neck out and he starts. That turtle has faith. Amen? That's the way it works. Listen to what it says here. Verse 19. You believe that Elohim is one and you do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. Oh. So you have one group that believe. And the demons believe. But what's the difference? What are you producing and what are the demons producing? That shows you where their faith is at. Now they understood and believed because when Yeshua walked up to a group of, well, this man that was possessed, when Yeshua walked up, remember, have you come to torment us before our time? Remember that? They understood who the Son of the Messiah was. They understood who Yeshua was. That's what he's saying. The demons believe. How many demons are saved? I don't know of any to say. You see what I mean? But they believe. So guys, we got to understand justified by faith and justified by works. It's both. It's both working because it's really the same thing. It's just where Paul was talking about, you're not justified by being a Jew first. That's what he was talking about. You're not justified by status change. It says, do you want to be shown, you foolish person, that faith apart, look at the word, apart from works is useless? Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac at the altar? You see that faith was active. It's producing something along with his works. And faith was completed by his works. And the scriptures were fulfilled in saying that Abraham believed Elohim, and it was accounted to him as righteousness, and he was called a friend of Elohim. You see that a person is justified by works and not faith alone. And then he goes on, and we'll finish with these two verses. And in the same way, was not also Rahab, a prostitute, justified by works, when she received the messengers and she sent them out by out another way? And it says this, for as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead. Guys, we have to understand that what we can do is, are we justified by faith? Are we justified by works? The answer is definitely yes. It's both of them because you can't have one without the other. This is what we're dealing with today. This is what you're going to be dealing with because people, for whatever reason, think that works, and like I said, if somebody turns around and says, brings up to you, well, you're saying you have to do all of these works. Say, well, let's change the word works to fruit. Everybody likes fruit. You know, they like that word. It's not as abrasive, it seems to be. Are we to produce fruit? Absolutely. Well, what's the difference between producing fruit and producing works? It's the same thing. There's not two different things. This is so super important. And this is the reason why I'm going to say this, finishing this up. When you're talking about prayer, we need to be praying. We need to be praying. You're talking about a nation? We need to be praying for the body of Messiah. Because the body of Messiah has got this easy believism. They're sitting here believing that because they come down an aisle and they shook somebody's hand a long time ago, and then they can go and live like they want to, that's dangerous. That is of the utmost dangerous theology that you can have. Now, understand this. I'm not saying that you're going to work your way into the kingdom. You're not. It is by believing that Yeshua, he's the one that made the sacrifice. But when we accepted him as our Savior and our Master and our King, then we have a part now in the kingdom. And he's saying, this is what you're going to do. This is how you're going to eat. This is when you're going to come. This is when you're going to celebrate. This is when you... We can't rewrite it and change it and say it's going to be okay. And the thing about it is in these latter days, the Father is going to continue to pour out His Spirit. More and more people is going to come to you and ask you these questions. But these questions, because when they come to you, and you're going to give them an answer. Hope you give them an answer from the Scriptures. Give them a nugget. Don't choke them with a turkey leg. Give them a chicken leg. Okay? You give them an answer, but do understand this. They're going to take that answer mostly, and they're going to go back, and they're going to ask somebody else over here. And this person over here is going to throw out Galatians, or they're going to throw something else out. The ping pong match begins. You know, and so they're going to be coming back and forth, and you just have to learn not to be frustrated. But you're going to need to be able to take the very scriptures that they bring to you, and you need to give them an answer in proper context. Because I can promise you the other side can't, because I've been there. That's why I'm where I'm at today, because I've had these questions, and I ask, and this, that, and the other, how does this work? Well, this doesn't. How do I know that I'm doing right? Well, you just got to know. Just got to know. How do I know? I mean, how do I just... But now with the Torah and understanding from His laws and commandments and what He's told me to do and what He's told me not to do, it's easy to understand. It's something to measure against. So guys, we are justified by faith and also by works and not faith alone. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Children will play in the streets of the city. Joy will be heard once again. I am challenged, oh Messiah.